and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What a test for Abraham, for any father, to give his own son. Take now thine own son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him there for a burnt offering. I remember years ago a brother speaking on this, and he said it's as if God just couldn't wait to give this picture. Here it is in the very first book of the Bible, of the father giving his son. Abraham did it in obedience to God. He took his son. But to think of God the Father giving his son for the sake of his rebellious creatures. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Read of no hesitation, rose early in the morning. What a man of faith. And it's interesting what he says in verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. God had told him to offer up his son. And earlier God had said, In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Such was Abraham's faith. We're told this in Hebrews 11, counting that God was even able to raise him up from the dead. What a remarkable picture. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. I've seen a picture, this picture with somewhat of some kind of a pot with coals in it. And they've got wood going to make the sacrifice. But the son asks a logical question in verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Again, I say a logical question. We're going up to offer a sacrifice to God. Where's the lamb? What a lovely answer we get. Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. It would seem that at this time at least, Isaac did not yet know what God had told him. Take thine own son. And what a tug it must have put on Abraham's heartstrings. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? My son, God will provide a lamb. And so we have pictured here the Lord Jesus Christ, God giving his own son, and there was no substitute for his son. For Isaac there was. Abraham goes on in faithfulness to God. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar from the wood. What a test. But Abraham did according to the word of God. But there's another lovely thought here. We read of no resistance on the part of Isaac. We read, I think, three times they went both of them together. Then here comes the time when Isaac is bound and laid on that altar. And we read of no resistance. A lovely picture of our Lord Jesus. God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, in loving obedience to his Father and in love to lost sinners, came to be our substitute, to die for our sin. Well, we have a substitute in this ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Perhaps picturing the Lord Jesus held by his love. But God the Father sent his Son. And God the Son came to this earth. Let's turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. A well-known verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To think of God giving his Son for lost sinners. Turn to the first chapter to read just a bit about the Lord Jesus and his coming here. As to his person, John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was. I am picturing the sacrifice. Here he's spoken of as the Word, the one that communicates to us the mind of God, the heart of God in his love. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Showing more than one person in the Godhead, he was with God. At the same time, he was God. The Word was God, showing his deity. He is God. And yet we read in the 14th verse, he became flesh. Many of us have been brought up in the meeting, we call it, and we've heard this from our babyhood. Perhaps we don't stop and think, really, who the Lord Jesus is. God manifest in the flesh. God has come here, has become a man to die for his guilty creatures that he might have us there with and like himself. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He's creator of all. And yet he came into his own creation, took the form of a man, form of a servant. And it says in verse 11, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Creatures who have rebelled deserve to be banished from God's presence forever. Through the work the Lord Jesus has done, to be brought into such a place of relationship and nearness, sons of God. What a marvel. Turn over to chapter 11 of John. Just wanting to, I believe everybody here is familiar with the scriptures, but wanting to read this one portion, which manifests among many other miracles that he did, that he is indeed God. Here in John 11, because he could raise the dead, proof positive his being God. Chapter 11 of John, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And now move on down a bit to verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. Some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stood by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Very remarkable, the very proof as to the Lord Jesus being who he said he was. We know there are so many other miracles, including at least two others that he raised from the dead. Very God, here on earth as a man. But he came in love to lost sinners. He lived his life here, a perfect life. Men wouldn't have him. They wanted to get rid of him, put him on the cross. Let's turn back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Even his disciples, even the closest ones, couldn't enter in to what he was going through here. He had to leave them. But to hear this cry, Oh, my Father, who's speaking? God the Son. But what cup was he facing? The cross, our sins, our judgment. He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if we were to be brought into blessing as sons of God, there was no other way. And the Lord Jesus goes on to say, Not my will, but thine be done. In Luke, we read of him in the garden. Says, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Being in an agony. What did the cross mean when he was bearing our sins? We can't comprehend it. But what would cause him to go through this? His love for you and me. And we read in Luke of angels strengthening him. What a marvel. But to move on. We all know the wondrous story. Well, thinking of all that men did to him. How the Jews agreed he was worthy of death. They took him to Pilate. And we'll move on down in chapter 27. Chapter 27 and verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. At this time, it was a custom that Pilate release a prisoner. And here they have a choice of two, Barabbas, a murderer, and the Holy Son of God. And they choose Barabbas to go free. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate asks. That's a question for each one of us to ask ourselves. What am I going to do with Jesus, who's called Christ? To think of God coming here in love to you, going to the cross, willing to be your substitute, because he loves you. He wants your company. What a marvel. He wants our company so much, with such a longing of love, that he would go through this. Well, Pilate, in verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This cruel whipping of which some people died. But here, this Pilate says, I find no fault in him. But yet he scourges him with this whip, with perhaps bones or metal fragments on the end. The scourging. But then the soldier, verse 27, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus, common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. They reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. After that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. We cannot comprehend even the physical sufferings the Lord went through in his love to us, to manifest his love. And the mocking, and he could say in prophecy in Psalms 69, I believe it is, reproach hath broken my heart. He felt it. Well, to read on, verse 33, when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. This is the Father's account of the death of his Son. And he does not put extra words or sensationalism in it. And it's so easy, perhaps, to read a few words and not really take it in. They, guilty creatures, crucified him, God the Son. They crucified him. But to move on, we'll skip on down to verse 45. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can each one here join in saying it was for my sake he was forsaken? He was bearing my sins. There was a very specific time and place where God took care of the sins of those that trust his Son. It was these 3 hours of darkness. God laid on him the iniquity of us all believers. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of our sins. And so tonight, the Lord Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He can give you rest, rest of conscience. You can know your sins are gone if you trust in him. Believe God's word that here, the Lord Jesus was your substitute. It can't be less than a perfect work because it is God's work. God the Son, bearing the sins of his those that trust in him, God laid them on him. And so the Lord Jesus is inviting. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Right now, pardon is offered because our blessed Lord Jesus was willing to be our substitute. Now I'd like to go back to Genesis for another picture. Genesis chapter 6. I've got the wrong book. God is offering this marvelous salvation through the death of his son. But I would like to read here just a little bit about Noah's, the flood and Noah's time, the ark being the place of refuge, and what happened to those who did not accept that part, that place of refuge. This is the, shall we say, the warning side of the gospel. We've heard the glorious news of the Lord Jesus being willing to take our place. But here a little picture of those who reject God's salvation. Genesis 6, and we'll start reading with verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Move on down to verse 13. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it. Of the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. When is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Here, and we all know the story, God, seeing the wickedness of man's heart and what they were going on with, he said, I'm going to have to judge the earth. Judgment must fall. But Noah found grace. God tells him to build the ark. We all know the story, and this was a big boat. But we'll move on in into chapter 7. Well, we'll start with verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, The same day were all the fountains of the great deeps broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem, and prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. The ark went upon the face of the water. Waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all fowl, and of cattle, and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heavens. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Judgment must come, but God in mercy provides an ark of safety. So Noah obeys, he builds the ark. He comes into the ark when the Lord tells him to. And the flood came, as we know. But think about Noah's neighbors. Scripture speaks of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. He must have warned them of a coming flood, of coming judgment. It hadn't yet rained on the earth. Can you imagine thoughts that went through people's minds when they first heard that rain coming down? From some of this area, I understand you've had a rather wet spring. But we can't imagine this. Raining 40 days and 40 nights, terrifically heavy rain, the fountains of the deep broken up. But to think of those neighbors as they hear this rain start coming down. And I'm sure that they must have thought what Noah had told them. And I can imagine as the water starts rising, they would start moving. Can you imagine them? Scripture doesn't tell us this, but in my thoughts, I can imagine them going to the ark and pounding. Noah, let us in. But it was too late. Did you notice as we read it, who shut the door? The Lord shut him in. God had shut the door. The time came when it was too late. Perhaps they climbed to the very top of the mountains, but we read of the water prevailing. We had specifically mentioned high hills, specifically mentioned mountains. The water prevailed. And all flesh died. Solemn pronouncement. All flesh died. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all those in the dry land, died. Judgment fell. Well, we know the story of Noah after an extended period of time being free to come out from the ark. God tells him that he would not again judge the earth by water. So we don't have to worry about a worldwide flood. But in Peter it says this earth is reserved unto fire. Judgment again is coming. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a Cry, maid, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. From what little I've read, I understand that this was a custom over there. And as far as the bridegroom coming for his bride in the night, perhaps. But here we have these 10, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The wise had the oil, the foolish didn't. And we know from Scripture the oil speaks of the Spirit of God. Those 5 had the oil, picturing those that have God the Spirit indwelling. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, who's accepted God's gift, has the Spirit of God indwelling. But the other 5, if you just had viewed these 10 together from perhaps a little distance, you couldn't have discerned. And there are those today that profess to be Christians, but they don't have the Spirit of God in their heart. They're not believers. They haven't trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And then the cry, Behold the bridegroom. They all get up, they trim their lamps, they're ready to go to meet the bridegroom. But then the foolish say to the wise, Give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. You have to go to the source to get the oil. To be saved, you have to go to God through the Lord Jesus. Your mom and dad can't save you. Your brother or sister can't save you. God offers salvation through the death of his Son. But you have to make it personal. He died there for me. And tell him thank you. Again, the 5 go in. Can you picture the other 5 then later coming? Lord, open to us. Too late. In the book of the Revelation, we read of the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the time that takes place, it will be too late for those who've heard and rejected the gospel. Before that time, when the Lord comes for his own, those that are his own will be called out. Those that are left, those that have heard and not accepted God's offer, will be left for judgment. Psalm thought. Let's just briefly read in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We've read and heard of God's love in giving His Son. And we've read something of the suffering of the Lord Jesus, dying there, my substitute, substitute of all that trust in Him. But how solemn on the warning side for those that will not have that offer, those who will not partake of that remedy we spoke of at the first, the remedy which is an absolutely certain cure, those who won't partake of that offer. This is their destiny. Solemn thought. Oh, to think of people. I hope there's none like that here. Think of people facing a lost eternity. We just cannot take it in, the thought. Eternity. Oh, for our believers, we're going to be with and like our precious Savior forever. What a glorious thought. But for the lost, how solemn. In closing, I'd like to use a little illustration, making it simple. I would like the children to be able to understand. So if two of the local brothers don't mind me using their names and by way of illustration. Suppose that I owed to a brother, Dave Imbo, a vast amount of money which I could never pay back. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars I could never pay back. And it's coming near time when I've got to do something, when I've got to pay that debt, but I can't. But Mr. Dave Imbo comes with his son, Mr. Bruce, and they say, Mr. Dave says, you owe me a lot of money. Yes, I do, but I can't pay it. He says, well, I care enough about you. I've asked my son to pay your debt for you. He's going to have to sell everything he has to pay that debt. But my son has paid your debt. Here's a piece of paper on which it is written that your debt is paid in full. All you have to do is agree to it, sign your name. And this paper tells you that your debt is paid. All I have to do is write down my name and say, thank you. That's what God is offering to you right now. We owe it by nature. We owe a debt to God we could never pay. God comes and says, I love you. My son loves you. I've given him. He's come to take your punishment, to pay your debt. All you have to do is believe that it was for you. So all you have to do is say thank you, and you go free. Oh, what a lovely thought. And I trust each can understand it that are here tonight. The debt is paid. All you have to do is accept the offer. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's that simple. But now on the other side, suppose when he came to me offering to pay my debt, I said, nope, it's my debt. I'll take care of it. Even though it meant everything I owned had to be sold and I was put into prison. It'd be such an insult. Be like I slapped him in the face. Oh, if there's anybody here without the Lord Jesus as Savior, are you rejecting again? Are you going to, as it were, slap him in the face? Say, no, I'll take care of my own sins. It will end you in that lake of fire, the second death, if you go into eternity in that way. How solemn. But all right now, God is offering to you eternal life, forgiveness, to be a child of His, to be with Him and like Him forever. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you haven't, why not right now?